eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone. Today I'm going to sit down with a man that knows the Mariners about as good as anybody. Looking forward to getting into this Mariner roster and what lies ahead in 2024. Welcome to the program, Seattle Time, Ryan Divish. Ryan, thanks for coming on.
Not a problem. Yeah, you know, it's good to be on. I figured you still want to have Larry Stone, even though he's retired. I mean, that guy's been around for the better part of two centuries.
Tell Larry, Larry's old news. You retire, you're out of the business. Yeah. We go on to the new. I appreciate you coming on. It was good seeing you. A couple weeks ago, I was down in camp, ran into you for a second, got to get a little peek at the Mariners, 2024. You're seeing it on a daily basis. So let's get into it. A year ago, came up short again. I think everybody knows no shortage of starting pitching on this ball club. I mean, top to bottom, I look around the league. I go into each division, match up with just about anybody in the game of baseball. You're seeing it on a daily basis. What are you seeing? Talk about new guys in camp. Let's just start with that starting rotation, how they're looking to start the season.
I guess the big thing is they're all healthy as of now. Yep. And I mean, that's what you look for this time of year, but their starting rotation has a chance to be one of the best in baseball. Their first three starters, you know, Luis Castillo, Logan Gilbert, and George Kirby, they're of the upper echelon. They're elite. You know, you look at Cy Young rankings, they're top 10, you know, in terms of like odds to win the Cy Young. So they're elite. And then what makes it even better is that the two kids after them, Bryce Miller and Brian Wu, who are rookies last year, who kind of got rushed into the big leagues. I mean, they look every bit the part of being an MLB pitcher with minimal experience. I mean, neither of them pitched above Double A. Brian Wu barely pitched 100 innings in his career, and they're up there and they're getting outs, you know, and they, part of it is just because they have dominant stuff, big fastballs. I mean, that's one thing I was looking at the Mariners. Their fastballs are great. Everybody throws up mid-90s and up, but they all got spin. They're all throwing two-seamers. I mean, they're just it's a group of really strong starters that have an eclectic mix of pitches, so you're not going to see the same look. Yeah, it's five right-handers, but it's all a little different every time you go out there to face them.
You know, it's interesting because a year ago we got to see Miller and Wu for the first time, and you know, Castillo's been around for a while now, the ace of the staff, but Kirby and Gilbert haven't been around that long. but it's almost like I think of them as veterans now. You know, I'm a big Kirby fan. I think Kirby's got a potential Cy Young in his future. But this, like you said, top to bottom, very good. Offseason, a lot of Seattle fans didn't think Mariners did enough. For me, the way I look at this and I break down this offense, because offense has been the problem for the Seattle Mariners. A year ago, they led, or not led, but they were 14th in the league in strikeouts, struck out a lot. They made some changes. Eugenio Suarez moves on, who, for me, big clubhouse guy. You see it on a daily basis. Came to the ballpark, played every day, struck out a lot, but you knew what you were getting from. You're going to get 25, you're going to get 90 plus RBIs. Plays, I think, an underrated defense at third base. He's moved on to Arizona. And Teoscar Hernandez, he's moving on. The young kid, Jared Kelenic, he's getting a fresh start in Atlanta. So you're having a lot of moving parts there. That's 190 ribbies in the two guys in Suarez and Teoscar I mentioned to replace. Now, they brought in Haniger, an old Mariner favorite. Health has been his problem through the years. Interesting. Polanco, hurt, beat up a year ago. A few years ago, you go back a few years, he hit 33 homers in the big leagues. I know he's having a big spring for you guys. They got him right there in the three hole. I'm excited to see what he does. I think he could be a big difference maker. Garver comes over from the world's champion Texas Rangers. I'm really interested in that. And then just watching these guys, Julio, progress and get better and better. He's a superstar. I think he's proven that. I love the strides that Crawford made a year ago. I think he's really a bona fide top shelf shortstop, and he was a electric for them at the top of the order, especially the second half. Okay, that's my take. Raleigh's getting better, really handles the pitching staff really well. Hit 30 homers a year ago. That's my take. What are you seeing? Add to that if you can.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, the offseason started off weird because they traded away guys that you thought were going to be contributors this year. And then you kind of find out about some of the salary stuff that they have, some of the payroll limitations that they're working with. And then you're like, okay, well, this is how they created money to make the team better. They had to trade Suarez. They had to trade Kelenic to get – and trade Marco Gonzalez and Evan White with them to get their contracts off the book to create money. Then you go out and add, you know, you get Garver, you get Polanco, you get Haniger, and then all of a sudden you fill those spots. You get Luke Raley, who's a guy that's got some athleticism and some power. So, like, I think given the constraints with which they're working with the budget, I thought it was a pretty solid offseason. Yeah, there's question marks with all the guys they acquired. You know, for the older guys, it's health. And for Raley, it's whether or not he can – you know, have as strong of a full season after a really good half season with the Rays. But yeah, like, they're better. I think on paper, they should be better. They're going to strike out less. They're going to put the ball in play more. They have more established guys playing. You know, you're not like, it's not like with Jared Kelenic asking whether or not he can play at the MLB level. It's like, these guys have played, they've had success at the MLB level, and it's important. You know, and a guy like Dom Canzone, who they got last year, has hit really well this spring. Ty France went to Driva and looks better. You're right about Crawford and Raleigh. I guess for me, it's like, If the question mark is only just whether they can stay healthy and not whether they can actually do it, that's a pretty good question mark. Everybody's going to have injuries throughout the season, but wondering whether or not a guy can actually play at this level is the tougher question to answer. They don't have that. They have real guys. So I think that's the big thing. Like, if they can get, you know, 1,600, 1,700 plate appearances combined between Polanco, Garver, and Haniger, well, they'll be good, because when those guys have 500 plate appearances, they produce, you know, three WAR level and higher.
I was sitting there this offseason, and I'm not a fan of Jared Kelenic. I think ability wise, he's a real good catch throw defensive outfielder, runs well. He's got the tools. He's got five tools. It just never really synced up in Seattle. I thought this offseason when they moved him to the Atlanta Braves, being a young player with that skill set, I thought it was good for him. I don't know that he was ever going to be able to thrive in a Seattle Mariners uniform. There was just too much that had gone on, and he's always looking over his shoulder because he had all the success in the minor leagues, and at the big league level, it just didn't translate. He had a little bit last year, didn't do bad, but what were your thoughts this offseason when they moved him?
Yeah, I mean, I think I figured he would have success. You go to Atlanta, where there's dudes everywhere. So you don't have to be the guy. There's no expectations for you other than just go out and play and try and contribute. You know, they have Acuna, they have Olsen, they have, you know, Albies, they have Austin Riley. Like, all Jared has to do is show up and try and play and produce at a level that's just above replacement. You know, nobody's asking him to be the savior. I think the Mariners didn't do him any favors with how they handled him. I thought they called him up too early. They put a lot of pressure on him. He already puts a lot of pressure on himself. So I just think, yeah, I think a change of scenery will help. You know, I know he's not putting up great numbers this spring, but I think in the end, you know, going to Atlanta, going into that situation where you're not expected to be, you know, the hero and not expected to be like along with Julio to do everything. I think it's big for Jared. I think he'll flourish eventually. You know, I don't know that he'll ever be kind of what everybody thought he was going to be as a prospect, but I do think he's going to be a productive major league player.
Yeah, I agree with you because everybody's not cut out for it and personalities do matter. I remember when I was a young player and the onus I put on myself, and then I was surrounded by, you know, a Ken Griffey Jr. that was the same age as me. And I thought, wow, I don't really have to do much. This guy's the, you know, the greatest player I've ever been around. I think when Kelnick came up and he had all this fanfare and he put a little bit on it himself at the very beginning. But then to have Julio thrive and step into that spotlight and become kind of the face of the franchise right there when Kelnick was supposed to be doing it, that might have wore on him a little bit. And different personalities respond in a different way. So that was my take, and I wish him nothing but the best. And like I said, I think he's got a real high-level skill set, but I'm kind of with you. I think he's going to be a serviceable big league player. I don't know if we're necessarily going to see that superstar-level talent. Year ago, Seattle Mariners led the American League in ERA. And bullpen, they were second overall in ERA. There's been some comings and goings. give me Ryan's take on Mariners bullpen. It's been a strong point for them the last 2-3 years.
Yeah, it really has. I think they're a bullpen in waiting, kind of. You know, Matt Brash, who was outstanding last year, you know, just ridiculous strikeout rate. And then Gregory Santos, who they acquired from the White Sox, are both not going to be ready to start the season. They're dealing with some arm issues. So, you know, I think the Mariners are hoping that they're both back by mid-May. But you still have Andrés Muñoz, who's throwing 102 and 91 mile per hour sliders and 101 mile per hour sinker. I don't know how anybody hits him half the time. You know, and then what the Mariners have done, and they've shown this, whether it was with Paul Sewald for multiple years or Drew Steckenrider for a year or, you know, Gabe Spire and Justin Topa last year, they're able to go out and find kind of cast off pitchers that people didn't want and assess their strengths and weaknesses, kind of get them to rethink how they want to pitch, and then they become useful. I mean, like Topa and Spire and Taylor Saucedo, all valuable members of the Mariners bullpen last year. They started the season in Triple A Tacoma. Like, they weren't with the team. So it's like they know how to find and build relievers. So I think they're going to have to rely on that because two of their anticipated leverage guys are going to be out. And they went and got Ryan Stanek. And I think that's a good Band-Aid to have, a 99-mile-per-hour throwing Band-Aid to have until those other guys get back.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Move on to the rest of the division. Houston's kind of been kind of the Mariners' nemesis for a long time now. And not to take anything away, not their nemesis. They've been a lot of people's nemesis. Houston, to me, I still look on paper one of the best teams in baseball, top to bottom. It's just I look at that offense. I think it's the most astute offense in all the game, and that means a thinking man's offense. You know, guys that are talking to one another constantly. They're just high level thinkers. I can tell, and they're not going away. They still got the majority of their lineup in their prime. They're going to be good. Verlander's not going to make the opening day start that they were planning on him doing. They're going to really kind of baby him and make sure he's all right. He's getting older. Valdez coming off a rough year. 2 years ago, big in the Cy Young candidate. A year ago, a little bit of an off year. They still got Javier. Is Lance McCullers ever going to come back? Urquidy, Hunter Brown, that's in their rotation. But they went out this offseason in Penn, and they got the probably the best, if not the best closer out there, definitely the best available in a Hader. And he's going to kind of 1-2 it with Presley out there in the bullpen. Still got a power bullpen. Maldonado moves on, who's been a staple behind the plate, handling that pitching staff. They're going with the young kid, Diaz. What do you see with the Houston Astros? What do you expect?
Yeah, I think they're – I mean, you know, you're right. The Mariners had like a – it's just kind of a – I don't know, a mental block against that team, especially playing at Minute Maid Park where, you know, crazy things happen. They just couldn't beat them, you know, and it took last year. I think they kind of cleared that hurdle a little bit. They won the season series. They played better against them, but you know, it's all well and good. You still have to beat them. Like that's the thing is like, if you want to get to where you want, you got to beat the bullies in the division. And the Astros are that bully. I mean, like the mayor, you know, their first five guys or first six guys, they roll up in a batting order. That's work to get through. And you can't go situational with them. You can't necessarily pitch around guys. You're going to get hurt if you don't throw strikes, especially if you walk guys against them. So yeah, I think they're legit. You know, they're still the best until somebody proves they're not. I mean, I guess the Rangers did in a way last year, but you look at the Rangers, they struggled to beat the Astros. It was a weird division. Like the Mariners couldn't really beat the Rangers. The Rangers couldn't beat the Astros, and the Mariners beat the Astros, you know. Everybody beat up on the A's, of course. But, yeah, I think, you know, I think the Mariners are better equipped to have success against the Astros than they were, you know, 2 and 3 years ago, that's for certain.
I think too, when you talk about the Mariners, it's not only the roster and the way it looks now, but these guys, these elite guys in that starting rotation, especially, and I'm going to even throw it to a Raleigh behind the plate, another year of experience. That starting rotation, another year of experience. That's a lot when it comes to that 162 game schedule. Kirby and Gilbert, they're not kids anymore. These are kind of seasoned veterans, and they're going to expect a lot of them. But just watching their mannerisms, the way they are, you can tell they're past that. Oh, we're just young pitchers with a high ceiling. No, it's time for them to put up, and I think they're going to. So I'm excited about that. I'll ask you one more question. The Rangers, you mentioned a year ago, it was a weird division. I mean, nobody had it. I didn't have the Rangers winning the World Series, but they did. It was a pretty awesome run in the way they did it. But then again, nobody expected the Dodgers to be knocked out right away and Arizona to be playing the World Series. So if you wanted drama, if you wanted things that you least expect to happen, they did. Look at that Ranger team. I don't know. I think offensively for me, still going to be a great offense. But from the pitching standpoint, outside of Evalde, you got Scherzer. He had that back surgery. You've got DeGrom. You never know when he's going to be back. You're missing kind of their hero for me down the stretch was a Montgomery who's still out there in free agency. Give me your take on the Rangers if they're going to be a factor in that division this year.
Well, they're just going to beat up on teams offensively. I mean, you look at that lineup. I watched Wyatt Langford the other day. I'm like, they just keep rolling out hitters. You know, and I know they're a little banged up with Seager out and Nathaniel Lowe out, but I mean, like, they got a lot of guys. You know, Ezekiel Duran and Leody Taveras turned themselves into players last year. They were big contributors. So they got a lot of offense. But, like, how the Rangers won the World Series was, like, using three relievers. I mean, they pitched Josh Spores and Leclerc and Will Smith. They just pitched until their arms fell off. Well, they can't do that during the regular season. That's why they came back to the pack, because their pitching wasn't good enough. So their pitching is still TBD, but you know, you get in a three-game series, they'll tax your bullpen and they'll beat you up. And it's always, sometimes for when you're playing them, it's not so much what they do to you during the series, it's what they do to you in the next series coming up as well.
I think Oakland kind of goes without saying at this stage. I don't see them really come. Who knows? I mean, it probably can't be worse than a year ago. Do you see anything in a positive direction for that Angel Ball Club?
I mean, yeah, they get to play in the same division as Oakland, so that helps them a little bit. But, you know, and they might be better than the White Sox, who look terrible. But no, I just don't know that the Angels have a direction on where they're going. They don't have an identity. You know, you have Trout, and that's pretty much it. Rendon doesn't want to play. You know, they don't have great prospects coming up. Like, they just don't – like, the Mariners have an identity. It's pitching. You know, they're going to win with pitching. They have T-Mobile Park. They're going to win with pitching. That's what they went. That's what they invested in. And, I mean, like, that's what they're good at. I don't know what the Angels' identity is right now. You know, it's really just getting a lot of talent that can't play together. So, until they figure that out, I don't think they're a factor.
All right. I'm going to put you on the spot here. Who wins the division?
I think the Astros win it.
Over, under, 90 wins, Seattle Mariners. You going under, you going over?
I think they're going to win 88 games is what I think. You know, now that's 88 now with the roster presently constructed. If they're in it and they make some trades, they could get to 90. But I think it's going to take 91 to win the division probably. And so I think that's kind of where the Mariners are at.
Biggest key for the Mariners?
Just healthy. If they stay healthy, they can win. That's the difference. Like I said, if they get Haniger, Polanco and Garver play a lot, they'll be good.
Got it. Ryan Divish, I appreciate you taking the time with the Boom Podcast. It was a lot of fun catching up with you. I will see you probably in Seattle this year quite a bit. And for all you out there watching, we're now on YouTube. If you're listening on the Odyssey app, I thank you for tuning in. And we, until next time, right here. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, man. See you.